You're listening to the Plugged Into podcast, bridging the connections between our communities. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into the one, the only Plugged Into podcast. If you're here, you've probably been keeping up with our webpage, staypluggedinto.com, which is all about news, life, events, and community in the Northeast Florida Tri-County area of Putnam, Flagler, and St. John's. If you're here and you haven't been keeping up with us at staypluggedinto.com, then I sort of have to wonder how you found us in the first place. Not that I'm complaining. Hey, welcome aboard. I'm your host, Misha, and I'm also the web manager and a blogger for Plugged Into. I take care of all the fiddly technical stuff like setting up this podcast, which actually is a first for me. First podcast for the Plugged Into and first podcast for me. I'm hoping to eventually wrangle my co-founders into coming on the air with me, so if you want to hear them speak up, let us know at editor@staypluggedinto.com. Just drop us a line and let them know, hey, we want you guys on the air as well. Why don't we get started with a look at the community calendar? On Thursday, January 26, the St. Augustine Humane Society will hold its annual fundraiser party to honor the winners of the 2017 Pinup Paws Pet Calendar. The event will be held at the Mark Lance Armory at 190 San Marco Avenue in St. Augustine and will include dinner, music, cocktails, an auction, a wine pull, and a photo booth. As part of Flagler College's Forum on Government and Public Policy series, acclaimed Washington correspondent Chuck Raich will be giving a talk entitled After the Guns Go Silent and the Balance Are Cast on Tuesday, January 31st in Lewis Auditorium. His lecture will focus on his 2016 book, In Perfect Union, A Father's Search for His Son in the Aftermath of the Battle of Gettysburg, which is about the rise of the war correspondent and the experience that follows conflict and war. Forums are free and open to the public, but seating is on a first-come, first-served basis. If you are a person with a disability and need a reasonable accommodation, please contact Lynn at 904-819-6460. Sign language interpreters are available upon request with a minimum of 3 days' notice. Call 904-826-8572. The Woman's Exchange of St. Augustine is taking reservations now for its annual Spring Luncheon Series held in the garden of the historic Peña Peck House. The Woman's Exchange also debuts Miss Anna's Boutique of new spring and summer merchandise during the luncheons. The dates are Tuesdays, March 21st and 28th, April 4th, and April 11th. Also on Fridays, March 24th, 31st, and April 7th. Grace United Methodist Church will be closing out the festive Nights of Light season in St. Augustine with an organ recital. Organist Barbara McGregor will be presented at 5 p.m. on January 28th at the church at 8 Carrera Street. There is no charge, but a freewill offering will be taken. For more information on the events listed here, and for more events happening in the Tri-County area, visit our local events section at staypluggedinto.com. So what's going on here at Plugged Into? Well, we've got quite a few stories up. One of the ones that has me the most excited is about the First Congregation Sons of Israel. It's the oldest synagogue in St. Augustine. Even the stained glass windows themselves are over 140 years old. Unfortunately, back in October when our friend Matthew came to town, he had dropped a lot of water in the area and the synagogue suffered some serious water damage. They're trying to raise some money to help repair it. They need $100,000, and on their GoFundMe page, they've actually raised a little over $87,000 in 2 months. They're only $13,000 from their goal, and they can go ahead and start the repairs. I'm really excited about that because it means that our community has really pulled together to help our friends who have been impacted by the storm. If you'd like to lend the Sons of Israel a hand, check out their contact information. It's listed on the Stay Plugged Into site on the story entitled Synagogue Rebuilding After Hurricane. You know, one of the great things about living in our area is the amazing abundance of fresh produce and handmade goods available at local farmers markets. We have the Salt Air Farmers Market in Marineland and the Lincolnville Market. They're both on Sunday mornings. On Saturdays, we had the Flagler Beach Farmers Market and the Old Cities Farmer Market at the Amphitheater and the St. John's River Farmers Market over in Switzerland. And add to that, the fact that San Mateo has also recently started up its own market, the Trader Days Farmers Market, which is also on Saturdays. Yet in the face of all this fresh produce and homemade jams, breads and pies, and all the fantastic handmade items, jewelry, housewares, it looks like one of the staples of the community is facing extinction. The long-loved Wednesday Farmer Market market at the pier may be disappearing soon. The market has always taken place in the pier's parking lot, and the county allows them space for free. But now the county wants to turn the pier parking lot into paid parking, and they say that the market will interfere with the income they would get from that parking lot, so they don't want to renew the contract they set up for the market to be there. Now, the county has offered them another spot to host the market at, and I haven't heard where that's at yet, but the market at the pier has long been a staple of the community, hasn't it? I think it would be terrible to lose it. If you want to let your voice be heard, the St. Johns County Commission meeting on January 17th will be addressing the issue. It'll be at 9 a.m. at the St. Johns County Auditorium, and that's at 500 San Sebastian View in St. Augustine. So if you want to be part of the conversation in keeping that Wednesday farmer market at the pier, you should probably show up at that commission meeting and let your voice be heard. What's next? Let's see. Oh. Attention history aficionados. For those of you who are into that whole 16th century groove that our area is known for, you should mark your calendars for February 4th. Every year, local reenactors gather at the Fountain of Youth here to engage the public about history and life in the 16th century. This will be an encampment, so it's a great opportunity to bring the kids and show them what life on the frontiers of the known world was like over 450 years ago. There'll be all kinds of demonstrations, weapons exhibits, marching drills, crafts, and other educational aspects of those days long gone by. Members of the public not in period costume will be allowed to participate in the events, but with the one exception that all of your clothing must be of natural fibers. Apparently, synthetic fibers have a penchant for being a little bit dangerous around sparks and gunpowder. Now, for those of you really into the costume thing, the encampment will be setting up on Friday, have demonstrations on Saturday, and tear down on Sunday. If you're interested in participating and have your own reenacting outfits and accoutrements, contact Sharon at 616-990-5456. This is always a lot of fun. I really hope it has a great turnout this year. The people that come in costume aren't paid. They're just people who love history and sharing it with others. They take their own time and money to get together clothing, accessories, and weapons all appropriate to their time period and learn how to use them expertly. It's really something everybody should see. These guys know their history and they love sharing it with others. And isn't that one of the things that makes our community great? Again, that's on February 4th for the demonstrations and events for us folks from the future, and the day before that for those of us still trapped in the past gathering our pantaloons. The event itself is free, though you do have to pay to get into the Fountain of Youth Park. Just as a public service announcement here, everyone with pets should probably be keeping a close eye on them, keeping them indoors if possible, and keeping those vaccinations up to date. Plugged Into reported a couple of weeks ago that sick raccoons have been reported in Flagler County at a rate 4 times higher than normal. Now, this isn't particularly strange because these rounds of sick raccoons tend to come about every couple of years, and it usually lasts for a couple of months. Even so, we should be extra diligent right now since the threat is still out there, and we don't want to have anyone lose their pets. For those in Palatka, I'd say the worry is still there. After all, it's not like sick animals stay within county lines, right? Just a couple of weeks ago, I was over on Palm Avenue and I caught sight of a sick raccoon. It looked to be juvenile, it was swaying slightly and disoriented, it was out in the daytime, and showed absolutely no fear of my car as I drew close. I had to call animal control, but it was still worrying because it was in a populated area full of families and businesses. So stay safe out there, everyone, and keep those beloved furry friends on a short leash until this wave of distemper passes. If you see a raccoon or a fox that's acting strange, such as being out in the daytime, unafraid of people, even sleeping near homes or on porches, you should definitely call animal control. They can come out and take a look. Now, the animal could just be tame, and if that's the case, they'll leave it alone or relocate it. But if it looks ill, they will come and euthanize it. Read any good books lately? One Book One Putnam has a suggestion for you. They kicked off their 13th annual read on Friday the 13th with New York Times bestselling author Michael Conley's book, City of Bones. On Thursday, January 12th, there was a kickoff reception with light refreshments and a skeleton at the Palaca Municipal Golf Course Clubhouse. That's right, a skeleton. The skeleton was accompanied by Dr. Michael Warren, head of CAPHIL, that's the CA Pound Human Identification Laboratory at the University of Florida. He's an associate professor of forensic anthropology and a graduate of Palatka High School. If you missed the kickoff, don't worry. There's plenty more to enjoy. On January 26th at 6 p.m., special guest Diana Lotta, a Putnam County teacher who's taught courses in forensics, will be speaking at the Palatka Headquarters Library. January 31st will be special guest Chip Leibel at the Bostwick Public Library from 6:30 p.m. The program continues on February 8th at 10 a.m. in Melrose and February 8th at noon at the Crescent City Library, and then February 16th at 6 p.m. at the Interlochen Library. The program ends on February 23rd with St. Johns County cold case detective Howard Skip Cole and will be held at the Woman's Club of Palatka at 600 South 13th Street. So, as anybody who knows me knows, I am a coffee drinker. I love coffee. Morning, noon, night, hot, cold, drip, full of syrups and powders and whipped cream, you name it, I love it. Now, the only problem I have with coffee is that it's a really bitter drink, and I don't like hot, bitter drinks. So I tend to put a lot of milk and a lot of sugar. I mean, a lot of sugar. So much so that I have to actually cut back on my coffee because I put too much sugar in it. And I always wondered why this was. I just assumed it was a bitter drink, and that was just how it was. So imagine my surprise one day when I went into a little hole-in-the-wall coffee shop called Kookaburra. It's located on the plaza in St. Augustine, right next to the cathedral. It's just a little tiny shop. I went in, ordered a regular old cup of coffee, and the smell was so good that I actually drank it and realized I didn't need to put cream or sugar in it. I had to ask them, why is this coffee so good? What have you done to make this magical drink even more magical? Well, they explained to me that they got their coffee from Bold Bean, which was a coffee roaster in Jacksonville, and they roasted their coffee in small batches. Apparently, bigger coffee shops like McDonald's, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts go through so much coffee that they actually flash roast it, burning half of it and leaving the other half half-cooked. Then, they grind them all up and mix them together to even out the taste, giving you that sharp, bitter tang that's kind of become characteristic of coffee. Little did I know, this is not actually characteristic of coffee at all. Coffee should be smooth and not need 5 tablespoons of sugar as I am forced to drink it. So imagine my surprise when I realized that all I had to do was go to a different coffee shop for my coffee, and that meant I could drink a whole lot more coffee without worrying about how much sugar I was taking in. Kookaburra Coffee has actually expanded to a couple more shops, which really makes me very happy to know that this local shop is doing such a great job. The owners are just the sweetest people ever. And let me just say, they make the best dirty hot chocolate I have ever had. So, guys, do you know of any other coffee shops in town that do a great job roasting coffee and serving it up mellow, mild, and smooth? If so, let us know. We need to get the coffee goodness out there and let everybody know that coffee doesn't have to be endured. It can actually be enjoyed. If you want to input your coffee information, let us know at editor@staypluggedinto.com. Well, guys, that about wraps it up for our first StayPluggedInto.com official podcast. I hope you've had fun listening. I've had fun making it. If you guys have any kind of input on what you'd like to hear or what you'd like to talk about on the podcast, you could always let us know. At StayPluggedInto.com, we have a contact form, or you can just email us directly at editor@StayPluggedInto.com. We look forward to hearing from all of you and hope that you've enjoyed the podcast. Thanks, and have a great week.